It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Gallagher Shots YouTube and podcast channel. We are back with another match preview. This time, we turn our attention to the FA Cup quarter-final game against Manchester City. I'm Scott. I'm your host for this one. And this week, I am joined by Daryl, Andy and Nickel. We'll jump straight into this one. But before we do, here's a message from our sponsor. The Gallagher Shots match preview is brought to you by Magpin. Magpin are the go-to site for high-quality, unofficial enamel pin badges of Newcastle United players, legends and retro kits. For more information, visit their website at magpinbadges.bigcartel.com. Right, so as I mentioned, it's the FA Cup quarter-final. It's against Manchester City. We don't draw easy teams in any of these cups. It's on Saturday the 16th of March. Well, we did draw an easy team, but we'll not talk about them down the road. It's on Saturday the 16th of March. It's at 5:30. It's at the Etihad. It's live on BBC One, so Mr. Shearer will be on the punditry. Might even be commentating, but I highly doubt it. That's a Sky thing to get a non-biased commentator in the ranks. We'll probably get someone else, but it's live on BBC One, so everyone can watch it nice. And if you're making your trip down, it's nice and early to get there and back in time for bed. Last time we played Man City in the FA Cup was in the quarterfinals. It was back in the 2019-2020 season. Unfortunately, Man City did win that fixture 2-0, so let's not talk any more about that one. Before we get started on everything, though, lads, I've got a few little commentator stats that they'll normally read out during the game. I'm not starting on the nicest of ones, but we have lost 15 of our last 16 away games against Man City in all competitions. I don't think I can say at the Etihad because I don't think it even goes back to before.
Back to Main Road.
Yeah, I think it goes back to Main Road. So I think it goes that far. The exception to that, though, well,
positivity rings true.
Last 9 in a row, we've lost. The exception was a 2-0 victory in October 2014 in round 16 of the League Cup. So we do have some victories against them in the Cup. That was Rolando Ahrens and one Moussa Sissoko. Wow. So there you go. You can stick that in your pipe and smoke it. He is magic. We know that. Man City have, though, progressed from their last 6 FA Cup quarterfinals since they last lost to Wigan in 2013-2014. And if they do win this game, they'll become the first team in FA Cup history to reach the semi-final in 6 consecutive campaigns. So they've got it all to play for. I mean, not that they need any more plaudits or any more awards, but that's one they want to go for. We obviously, Newcastle, are looking to reach the semi-final of the FA Cup for the first time since 2004-2005. And finally, from me, if Newcastle are victorious on Saturday, we will be the first team to do the domestic cup double over Manchester City since Tottenham Hotspur. Does anyone want to have a guess at the year?
I'm going to say the 70s.
Oh, no. How about Daryl?
Is it later than that? Oh, well,
it's later than that. It's 1992 to 1993. So there you have it.
Football was invented.
The year football was invented. Yes. Absolutely. The year we were actually worth watching. No, let's not go that far. Anyways, we will move on. Andy, mate, obviously, we all know how good Man City are, but you've been doing a little bit of research into their style of play. Apparently, a bit like we said about Arsenal, they're very good.
Well, I disagree because they've only won 18 of the last 21 games.
Oh, so, that's
right. They need to sort themselves out. Oh. And the last round of the FA, they only won it 6-2 and Haaland only scored 5 goals. So we don't have to worry about, really. But yeah, I mean, what can you say about Man City that hasn't been said a million times already? They are the team of a generation. They are probably the best team we've ever seen. I think other than that one year Liverpool won the league, I think they've just been the best team in the world every single year that Pep's been there, certainly. Just unbelievable depth. Every time you play them, I mean, obviously we're horrendous against Man City anyway. I just think every time I think Man City, I just think Aguero constantly scoring. I think he scored 5 goals in a game against us at one point. And I didn't captain him on fantasy football that particular week, so still burns deeply. But yeah, they're just ridiculous. Got the third best defence in the league. They've not really had many injuries this year. And even with the injuries, which I know I'll go on to, the injuries they are getting, it's just pointless because if Grealish gets injured, then they can play Jeremy Doku, who probably is the first choice winger there anyway. Edison's now injured after the Liverpool game, but now they've got this Ortega coming on. I was reading an article about him where Pep's been saying since he signed that he's too good to be a number two and he's gratefully stuck around. And there was a rumour that he was going to start him as his number one for this season because Edison was struggling a little bit. So even in the areas where you think there's potentially a weakness, it's not really a weakness at all. The one sort of shining light I was trying to find was that they played a weakened team in the cup, but they don't. The last round against Luton, I'll rattle through it quickly. Ortega, Walker, Stones, Akanji, Ake, Nunes, Kovacic, Bernardo, De Bruyne, Grealish, Haaland. Is that weakened in any way? Maybe Kovacic and Nunes, the holding midfield, but other than that, I'm not going to swear, but it does my head in. That he can just do that at every competition, and we're having our own physios like breaking players' knees. Like we saw it in our last game. So yeah, they're ridiculous. I did try and look into a little bit about where teams have hurt them, and I was reading some tweets from this analyst called Raj, who I follow on Twitter, and he's really good. And he was saying one area they have conceded a lot this year is people cutting inside of Kyle Walker. And obviously, we saw in our game that we did that twice. In the I'm sure Daryl will probably go into. With Isak and Gordon both scoring. And we saw in that Liverpool game just gone that Luis Diaz got loads of opportunities down in that channel as well. But then you think, right, there's an opportunity, but we've lost Gordon. We're probably still not going to have Barnes. We can't realistically put Isak out there. So it's not looking like it's a good start. But, you know, we'll be fine. The final sort of a crumb of positivity I'm trying to find is maybe De Bruyne has fallen out with Pep, because we saw in the last game
he got
off and he threw a bit of a paddy. But I mean, they're not going to have fallen out, are they? Because it's Pep and it's De Bruyne and they'll just roll the next team over, so it won't really matter. they're obviously ridiculously good. We're on a bit of a downward trajectory, as we know, but it is the cup and we have done them over in the cup once before. We've beat PSG this season, let's not forget, that was this season. So on our day, we can beat anyone, but it is going to be very, very tough.
It is going to be tough, Daryl, but like we've said, anything can happen. And we saw that in the League Cup this season. You know, we've given them a good game at least once in the league this season. Maybe the second game wasn't as close as we'd like, although the scoreline was, you know, maybe it is what it is. But, you know, we've proven ourselves against Man City, not just this season, but last season as well.
Absolutely, yeah. Recent form against Man City has been very interesting to look back on, especially when you consider how you only have to go back a little bit further than that to see that every time we played Man City, we got hammered. You know, there's a couple of really bad score lines in there. I have to just quickly point out before I start going into our recent performances against Man City, just to echo what Andy said, and I am such an advocate for Pep, and I don't want this to turn into a loving, but it'll sound like one because I absolutely adore Pep Ball. You know, I know plenty of people who hate tiki-taka and all that sort of thing, but when you go back to his days at Barcelona, they were that generation's Man City, is what Man City are now, and they just won everything. Yes, they had great players, but he still needed a system that worked, and, you know, it's very easy to do it when you have a manager like Pep who can implement that style and work to a philosophy, and it's just the same thing he's brought to Man City. And you've even seen that get implanted on Mikel Arteta at Arsenal. He's sort of doing his sort of tweak to that down there in London. But yeah, so going back to recent form, you know, you've mentioned already that this season we've given them some, you know, well, even going back to last season, we gave them the scare at St James's because we got the 3-3. We went 2 goals ahead in that game and it really put the frighteners on them. It took all of their class and ability to come back into that game at St James's. And, you know, we start the season this season in our second game down at the Etihad on a Saturday night. And it was only a 1-0 win for Man City in that game, which is one of the closest games we've had down at the Etihad for a good while. As much as they dominated that game as a whole, we were quite, you know, sturdy in defence at that point, and we resisted them for most of that game. And then you come back to the next game in the series is actually the AFL Cup game, which we mentioned before, which was a win with an Alexander Isak goal. There's a bit of a theme developing there with Alexander Isak. He'd just like to get a goal against Man City. And that, you know, those of us that were there that night back in September were, you know, we saw everything there and we really enjoyed that game. It was such a good game to be there for. And you come back into the start of this year, you know, just as we were coming through that really sticky patch with fatigue and injuries and, you know, less than half a team available and all that. And yet we still managed to pull out a 2-1 win. Not a 2-1 win, sorry, a 3-2 loss. It was a narrow loss because they scored in the 91st minute. Oscar Bob breaking everybody's hearts when he just skipped around. Exactly. Just when he skipped around the goalkeeper and put it in an injury time. But, you know, we went behind in that game thanks to Bernardo Silva. But as Andy mentioned, cutting in from the right, you had the 2 goals from Alexander Isak and Gordon, which were very similar in how they were scored because, like Andy said, he cut in from that right in beside Walker. And I think Isak actually used Walker as the marker to bend it around him, and he planted it in the bottom corner. And Gordon's was very much the same. And that put us in a really good position. And again, Man City found themselves in a position where we were really putting them under pressure. Yes, it was at home, so yes, there was an advantage for us. But again, it took all of their quality and class to come back into that game and then get that late winner. You know, another thing I wanted to mention, and now that we've faced Man City, we've faced them twice in the league. We've had them in the EFL Cup, and now we have them in the FA Cup. It's actually the second time that that's happened in a season. The last time it happened was in 1994-5. And I'll quickly run off because I've got the results here.
Two years after the football started,
yeah. So the League Cup was the first time, well, the first competition that we faced them in, because we didn't face them for the first time in the league until the new year. So in November 94, we played them away at Main Road and drew 1-1. Brought them back to St James's, but they won that game 2-0. That was in December. And then in the Premier League that year, we played them in January, home and April away, but both of those games finished 0-0. And then we played them in the February, in between those two league games, at home in round 5 of the FA Cup, and we won that game 3-1. And very quickly before I hand over, the record against Man City in the FA Cup, which it's quite a lot of games considering. There's 11 games, 11 times we've played Man City in the FA Cup. The record stands at 6 wins, 2 draws, and 3 defeats. And out of those three defeats, you'd think a few of them might have come quite recently. Well, certainly the one in the last time in the quarterfinal was quite a recent one. In those little stats, that's 2 replays as well. There's 2 replays included in that. And then again, just to round it off, our record in the quarterfinals of the FA Cup all time are 28 ties, 17 wins, 11 defeats. That's including 8 replays and two second time replays. So when the games, back in the day when games just kept on getting played, yeah, if you didn't get it done over 2 legs, you had to play a 3rd one.
Imagine the meltdown from modern managers if that happened now, like double replays. Imagine Klopp.
I would like to stress as well, for those of us, for the audience who may be watching who are of an older persuasion than all 4 of us combined, I'm sure,
Mark.
One of those replays was in the it was the 1973-74 competition when I think there was a pitch invasion against Nottingham Forest at home, and it all kicked off. So they made us play a second replay, and I think that was played somewhere like Goodison Park or something stupid like that to get it over the line.
My dad's band's just finished after that.
But yeah, so that's everything I can pull out on us and Man City in this competition.
There you have it. If you're still awake and you're still I mean, you know, there is a lot of history between us and City in this cup.
There's positivity.
It's, you know, I jested earlier that we only draw hard teams in this cup, and you know, we drew Man City through their good and bad years. Long may it continue. It'll be a good little head to head going forward as we get better and they get even better. Nickel mate, Andy's already mentioned about the injuries, but you're going to go into a little bit more depth. Obviously, we know who they are. Obviously, the newest one is Edison, which, you know, we were probably all rubbing our hands when we see him go down. But then when you see who they've brought on and the replacement, probably not that big of a deal when you look at it.
Yeah. It's Edison and Grealish. And obviously, when you look at Edison, he's their number one. But Ortega's come in and he's done. Based on Sunday's performance, he's absolutely fine to slot in. So I don't really see that as being too much of an advantage for us, unfortunately. And obviously with Jack Grealish, he's expected to be out for the rest of March, I think. So he's going to miss the England games as well coming up. But as we've already said, they have suitable replacements in Doku, Bernardo Silva, you know, De Bruyne. I could go on. They've got plenty of replacements. So I think it's just a case of, you know, for us, I'm listening to what Daryl's just been saying there about recent records. And I'm just thinking back to games where I've been to watch us against Man City. And I think we always seem to put up a good fight. It, you know, we might not always win, but we always do definitely put up a good fight. We've given them some really good games over the years. I think back to Salomon Rondon and Matt Ritchie that night at St James's Park. Under Rafa, that was brilliant. That 3-3 game you mentioned was probably one of the best games I've been to live.
Yeah.
St Maximum was unplayable that day against High Walker. Yeah. So we're going to need Almiron or Murphy to do something like that, please, on Saturday afternoon, please. But you know, it's the FA Cup, as we've said, and anything can happen. There's 5,000 of our fans going. We'll make a lot of noise. So let's give it a go.
It's funny you mentioned that about giving them a tough game. I remember the year they first won the Premier League and they came to St James's, and we really battered the hatches down that season. And I remember Yaya Toure had to score an absolute worldie down that game. That was right in front of me. And I just remember, so we do give it a go. What was the game as well when Shelby scored a banger? He like whipped one in top corner, didn't he?
Oh, was that not a free? Was it a free kick he scored?
Yeah, it was a free kick.
It got like pulled back to him, I think, didn't it? And then he just walloped it.
Oh, yeah.
I think it finished 2-2.
And then again, I think De Bruyne then had to score a worldie to equalise. And then game that we played them away in the league this year, that was a worldie as well. So
yeah, it was, yeah.
That seems to be the common theme at the moment with Man City.
Forced to pull out a worldie.
And when you think back to all them games, you know, Pep's always been very complimentary of Newcastle in his post-match, his post-match reactions, really. So, you know, they'll know that they're in for the game. So
he also had that moment when St Maximin was running through and he just dropped to his knees.
It's a great photograph.
It was class. Or how we miss him.
Oh, well, could do with him now, couldn't we?
Yeah.
All right, Decker, calm down.
Happy birthday, Maxi, for the other day.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned Grealish being injured. Has he actually played since he made that comment about Miggy? Has he played against Miggy? Is he running scared? Is that what it is? Or has he had one game against
him? They definitely played against each other in that game in August.
The one in August, was it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember that game, the 2-0 with Richie, because I was in Moscow, of all places, watching that in a hotel in Moscow, trying to get it on dodgy Wi-Fi, thinking another Russian's going to come knocking on my door at some point because I'm streaming the game. They don't care. But yeah, that was always fun.
I was going to say that's around the time when Gary Neville was having a real go at us for the way we were playing so defensively against them.
Yeah.
And then we got that result.
Winning, yeah.
And then, yeah.
What does he know?
was the only way to play against them. It was the only way to play against them at the time, if I remember rightly.
Oh, 100%.
The Rafa method.
Yeah.
As they used to call it. We'll turn our attention to us. Seems we're talking so vividly about games gone past. Obviously, Andy, injuries from our side. We know who's out, but we had two additions to the injury list from, well, not even from the weekend. Obviously, Harvey Barnes was announced before the game, before we even kicked a ball. And then we saw Anthony Gordon seem to get his knee pushed in by the physio and wince in pain when that happened. It wasn't the physio that did it, but it didn't seem to help, whatever it was he did. But we've heard it's not as bad as it looked from, I think, Lee Ryder put that on Twitter this week. Obviously, we won't know. We're doing this before an Eddie Howe press conference, as we always do, but it seems, like I've said before, that there's a revolving door in that physio room, and we get one back and there seems to be two go down and we just don't seem to be able to catch a break. There's players quite clearly aren't fully fit that are back in that side, and it just seems like we get players back in the middle of the field and then our wingers are dropping like flies. What's going on?
Well, I think the obvious first point is that there's been too many games with the way we play. So we knew that was going to be an issue, and we know the way we play was always going to cause it to be an issue and everything like that. But we have also been ridiculously unlucky with some of the weird injuries.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
The Gordon one seems like one of the only ones that seems to actually be caused by, you know, the repetition of movement and things like that. We've had two broken backs this season. We've had someone banned for an entire year for something that was obviously completely out of our control. So it's hard. Physios will be extremely busy. And I've seen, you know, there is criticism being levied their way, but we just don't know. It's not going to be the medical team necessarily, the sports scientists and people like that as well who go into recovery. I have heard that Howe does like to bring people back too soon. And I have a bit of sympathy for him because it's obviously a really high pressure situation. He wants to get his best players back, but at the same time, he is there to manage his squad. And you could argue it's not being managed necessarily that well. I do think he needs to start backing some of those younger lads on the bench a bit more. We've seen that Joe White come on, he's looked pretty decent. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Miley didn't really get a run out for a while in the last game, and we know he can do the job. Hall is a complete enigma. We don't know what's going on with him. We've got Target back and people like that. So there are people there who are competent footballers and can do a job. I don't want to be in a position where I'm watching Miggy sort of tow a caravan. I think someone said in the group chat was like, how people are running at the moment. After 30 minutes, we've got to give these young lads a bit more of a chance. Maybe the game upcoming isn't the time to be chucking Joe White in and people like that, but as the season, you know, as the season is petering out a little bit, it is worth just giving these lads a chance so we can go into the next game with some fresher legs. Definitely,
I would come in there as well and just say, as much as I don't like to say it, it just looks like some of the lads are actually playing with niggles as well. There's just too much going on in that team to think that it's, you know, there's certain things that are happening with performance levels that we're just not used to seeing from those lads. So it makes you think that, without trying to single out certain people, you know, I would maybe suggest Sven Botman's still not fully right from his knee injury. Is Sean Longstaff possibly carrying something because he's not really been on his best form?
And
Dan Byrne took a really heavy hit on his back in that game.
He landed awfully, didn't he?
That was right in front of us, and he was down for a good while. So, and I don't want to spoil what we're going to get into in terms of how we think we'll line up, so I'm not going to mention it just yet, but I think there's possibly a replacement in store in the defence come Saturday night.
Yeah. Well, we'll move on to that, Nickel. Are there any changes you would make in the middle of the park? Obviously, you know, we've talked a lot about Bruno and Longstaff, and we've got players coming back in that area, and it's probably one of the areas where we've got an abundance of players now. You know, you've got Willock back, you've got Anderson, who should now be fit. He's had that bedding in period. Hopefully his back's okay. You know, he's got a goal under his belt if you count the penalty. you know, there's players there. So would you make changes given the performances that we've had in the centre of that park haven't been up to scratch? What would you do?
Yeah. If you're asking what I would do, perhaps I would make.
What do you think Eddie Howe would do?
I think it'll be the exact same. I think it'll be Bruno because he's brilliant. He's been probably one of the shining lights in recent weeks. You would say he's turned up every week. Joe Willock, purely for his, you know, at Man City we're going to be doing a lot of defending, so we need him to carry the ball up the pitch and be a bit of a link between midfield and Isak up front. And then I do think you'll go with Sean Longstaff purely because he'll be thinking like defensively for cover in the middle, rather than someone like Elliot Anderson, who perhaps is a bit more forward thinking. Maybe that's an option off the bench, I would say. And just on Anthony Gordon, just moving on from what Andy was saying, I think I've just read before we came on that Southgate's contacted Newcastle's representatives about his injury. So he's obviously potentially thinking of putting him in the squad. So, and we're also saying that it might not be as bad as what we think. So, I'm not sure we will see Gordon, but you know, I think maybe we might see him in the England squad and maybe the game after for us.
Yeah, it could be Gordon on the bench, Andy, if it's not as bad as we're expecting, and you know, give him a run out, test that knee if it's needed. I think it'll be a user's needed, and maybe, you know, just have him on the bench as kind of a, you know, a morale boost, if anything. If anything for the fans. If they see the name on the bench, you'll be like, oh, it's not as bad as we think. And, you know, it just gets people, just puts a pip on that step, you know, puts a song in their lungs, you know, something like that, just to get the lads who are actually on the pitch, you know, just give them a bit more of a gusto throughout the game. I know, you know, probably is not going to make that much of a difference, but you never know. With these
but the thing is, though, if it's 0-0 on 60 minutes and Anthony Gordon warms up, I'm getting excited as a fan.
We're spilling the game.
100%. Like you say, the way Bruno's been playing at the minute, it could be an opportunity to, you know, Bruno plays deeper because Eddie Howe is trying to control the games a bit more. But I personally liked when we put Miley a bit deeper and Bruno went further forward.
Yeah,
we're not realistically going to control this game, are we? So I feel like what we really need to do in this game is, if we've got those opportunities to break and we get the ball in the final third, we need to be nailed on with it. We can't be sloppy at all. So against Chelsea, the number of opportunities we had where we just needed to play that final pass, breakthrough. Man City game away in the league this season, so many opportunities to break where we just fluffed our lines completely. And I just want the ball to be with Bruno in that situation and not with Longstaff, because I do still really like Longstaff, but we've seen his limitations massively this year. So if we can create opportunities like that, and you've got a fresh-legged Anthony Gordon running at Walker, who, as we said before, can sometimes struggle with people coming inside him, it could be a smash-and-grab situation. Mm. We just got to stay in the game, which at the moment we're not really doing in any of the games, are we? But we got to do it this time.
Yeah, I think we'll see Willock be the one who's going to be the one running at Walker. I think we saw it last season, if I remember rightly.
Yeah,
left him for dust a couple of times last season, if I remember rightly, with Joe Willock. Daryl, you mentioned the defence. Yes. Go on then, what's your insider knowledge?
Well, it's not really insider knowledge. I'm just trying to say on what we've seen in recent games, and certainly the last two times we've been to the Etihad, we saw Jamal Lascelles selected in central defence. Yeah. And in the first game that he came up against Erling Haaland, he gave him such a rough time. And I remember specifically one challenge in the first half, which was right in front of us in the away end, where I'm amazed that he didn't get some sort of card punishment for the tackle he put in on Haaland, because he nearly kicked him into the Pennines, for Christ's sake, from where he was. But credit to Haaland for just getting straight back up and getting on with it. I mean, quite clearly, lads likes a physical battle. So, but we saw it in the game in August as well at the Etihad. Again, Lascelles was selected and he played in that game to go up against Haaland and just be physical. And make life hard for him.
Does he come in as an extra centre back or replace him?
Well, I think he might come in possibly. I think he comes in to replace Botman, and I think Botman sits out based on we can quite clearly see that he's not moving right. And I think he'll come in for Botman, and it'll be the Sells and Shea in the heart of defence. I agree with you as well, Scott. I think Willock is going to be the one that will be used to run at Walker, which means putting him actually left wing, which will then free up a slot in the midfield three, which allows you to either be defensive or be a little bit more creative. So you could have a Maile, Bruno, Longstaff midfield three with Willock on one side and then Murphy on the other, maybe Miggy, depending on how Eddie wants to play it.
I wouldn't mind that.
Certainly, Isak has to play through the middle because he's literally the only one left.
There's no one else.
There's no one else. That's just Tino. Tindall get his boots on.
Tino was probably the best player on the park for me on Monday night against Chelsea. So he's pretty much going to be starting because Trippier's still out.
He was left back.
Left back again. Yeah. I think Dan Burns started on Monday surely simply because he had the armband. Whether or not that warrants him to start again on Saturday is another thing, but he's another one whose mobility has been really affected by his injury as well. He just doesn't move.
Rapid before then.
Well, exactly. You know, he was never really great before, but since he's had the impact, he's got the turning circle of a tank where he had the turning circle of a bus.
They've actually got good turning circles there, but
so, well, in speed as well. We are. In certain areas, we're left to bare bones, and in certain areas, we're actually not as bad off as we think we are. Mm.
We've had craft as well, haven't we? Coming back in and looking all right.
Yeah. Tino did all right when he moved to left back later in that game on Monday night as well. He did all right. It'll be interesting to see. But I think certainly the big changes for me would be Lascelles in the defence and Willock shoved out of the midfield into the left wing role like he used to be.
Yeah. Well, before we move on to our predictions, there's one feature left to go. It's your favourite and mine. It is, of course, Andy, you're going to sing the jingle again. It's Ref Watch.
I thought that we had the jingle. I think I just got excited and screamed Ref Watch.
Right, I'll cut it.
I'm leaving that up to Joe to do the jingle. He's one with all the guitars.
I'll cut it from the video last week and I'll just play it on. I'll just play it as audio. I'll play it. Yes, it is Ref Watch. So, Daryl, you've got the floor again, mate. Take it away.
Oh, I feel like I've done a lot of talking now. I'm going to have to be quick here.
Who's the person in the middle? Yeah, we're on 30 minutes. We'll do
have to be quick. No. Right, okay. Well, man in the middle for this one's going to be Simon Hooper from Wiltshire. Second Newcastle game of the season, and that's following on from the 4-1 win against Chelsea at St James's Park. So, nice little omen there. His record this season in all competitions, because we're not just the Premier League for this one, we're in the FA Cup, so we're gone. He's done EFL Cup, Championship and Premier League so far this season, so this is his first FA Cup appointment. He's done 24 games in total, 106 yellow cards in those 24 games, and 3 reds. Again, I'm going to do like I did for Blackburn, and we're going to just quickly mention the VAR official, who is Thomas Bramall. Might not know who he is, but what I will tell you is he was the referee in the 4-4 draw against Luton at St James's and also for the 2-0 home win against Burnley. And I wouldn't also normally do this, but we're also going to mention the assistant VAR official. And that is going to be our good old friend who we've seen nearly every round of this competition this season, and that's Jared Gillett, the Australian. He's hovering around like a bad smell, I think. but we've had some good results and some bad under him, so we'll see how we get on.
There you go.
Nice and quick.
End feature.
I'm going to close the notebook.
Maybe he likes Ref Watch. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe he's like, maybe. I like that feature. I just want to be on it all the time. I'll be involved in some shape or form. Boys, we'll turn our attention now to our predictions. Nickel, mate, we'll come to you first. What's your prediction?
I'm going to be positive because I want us to win. Let's not forget that if we win this, we're going to Wembley. Whether you agree with that or not, in the semi-finals, we're going to go to Wembley.
I don't agree with it, but it is true.
But we'd all have a weekend out of it, though, wouldn't we? So you know,
news can. I'm at work. Bugger off.
I'm not flying over for a semi-final. Fly over for a final.
Just you and me, then, Nicole. That's fine.
I'll be going for the weekend.
Call as plastic if you want. I'm not flying over for the semi-final.
So, I'm going to be optimistic. and I've booked the latest train home possible because I'm hoping it goes to penalties and we're going to win.
That's a shout.
It's going to be 0-0 and we're going to win on penalties. There we go. I've said it.
Wow. 0-0 penalties. You're going for a Dubravka save and two again. Is that what you're going for?
Yeah, he'll come up for us again, Dubravka. And I think Bruno will score the winning penalty. There we go.
And he'll celebrate with some Kinder Buenos.
Kinder Brunos. Kinder Brunos. Daryl, mate, what's your prediction?
I don't think I can be that positive.
You don't have to be, mate.
No, I'm not. 3-1 to Man City.
3-1 to Man City, Jesus. Do all that shit.
But we're going to score a goal. That's far too positive. But, you're deluded.
You know, yeah.
I've seen a score goal at that place. So there you go. We'll get one.
Andy, your prediction?
Pass.
We're going to get one pass. Is that what you're saying? We're going to make one complete pass.
Yeah. I think this is going to be I can't lie. I think this is going to be tough. Yeah. I think we're all going to be raging in the group chat within 20 minutes. I think we're going to. I think it's just going to be another one of them. I don't want to be that negative because, like I said earlier, we can beat anyone on our day still. I do really think we can still beat anyone on our day. And I think if we're still in the game on 60 minutes, like Nicol said, it could go to penalties. And then that's a complete lottery, isn't it? But I just think Man City are just on an absolute tear. They're in sort of that prime Man City period at the end of the season where they just roll through everyone. So I am worried. So I think it's going to be 3-0 loss, I'm afraid. But secondary prediction, sub-prediction, if it's 0-0 in 60 minutes, we'll win on penalties.
There we go.
But it won't be.
I kind of see us coming out of this one with a victory, unfortunately. I'm sorry, Nick. I know you're going down. I'd love to be proven wrong.
It's going to be a waste of money, all right?
I hope you took out insurance. Get your money back. Yeah. Daryl,
imagine if it goes to penalties and we lose on penalties. That would be like nearly the perfect prediction.
Daryl, if you know anyone, the ticket office, you can get his money back. I don't think it'll be as bad a defeat as Daryl and Andy are saying. I don't think we'll be steamrolled. I do think we'll put up a fight. But I just think going off our previous or recent performances, unless it's a worldie, and I know we've been talking today about the fact that we've scored some worldies against them recently, and those two, I don't think we'll get a sniff in terms of even a shot on target, if I'm being honest with you. Unfortunately, I think it'll be 1-0. I think that's all it'll be. I don't think Haaland's going to get a sniff either. I do think Lascelles will start. I agree with you, Daryl, and I think he's going to contain Haaland pretty well, but I think someone like Phil Foden or De Bruyne, you just kind of play against these players at the minute, unfortunately. Yeah.
Foden against Burns has been a massive.
I think it's going to be, Phil Foden's going to get a goal. I think it's going to be 1-0. I think that's going to be all she wrote, unfortunately. And I hate to say it because I'd love to see us get to a semi final, even though I won't go. And I'd love to see us get to a final, even though I haven't got the loyalty points to go, but I'd still go to London for that. But I think it'll be a 1-0 defeat, unfortunately.
So for more positive Newcastle content, like and subscribe.
if you completely disagree with us, let us know in the comments below, because I'd love to hear your opinions on this. But the performances we've put in recently, the fatigue, I don't know where this fatigue's come from in this side, considering we're playing one game a week now. I'm not being negative for the sake of being negative. I'm being realistic, unfortunately. And you can only go off what's been put in front of you. And unfortunately, Man City are playing, as Andy said, the way Man City are playing at the minute are unbeatable. And it needs a team like Liverpool to even get a point from them. And we're not that level at the minute, unfortunately. So
do you know
I can't
really
see anything else.
You know what's really terrifying me about this game on Saturday? It's going to be the moment where John Stones ends up partnering Haaland up front like he has done in the last couple of games, and we just don't know how to deal with it. Because that's going to be terrifying.
Inverted centre back. It's a false two.
How they keep coming up with these things? I just don't know how he does it, and it's. I mean, my mind can't.
He's a madman.
Can't compute it.
That's well, because That's because Pep Guardiola gets paid millions of pounds a year, Daryl, and we don't. Anyways, like I said, if you completely disagree with everything we've said, let us know in the comments below.
I hope you do.
If you do, let us know as well. If you agree, let us know in the comments below. Let us know your predictions. While you're down there, hit the little thumbs up button. Hit the subscribe button. I think we're about 50 off 11,000. We might be even more now because after people listen to this, we might have lost a few. But please stick around. We're trying to get 11,000 by the end of this season. So please hit that subscribe button if you're not already subscribed. And while you're down there, hit the notification bell and you'll be notified when new videos go live on the channel. If you want to go one step further, you can become a member. It's $2.99 a month. That gets you early access to videos, that gets you access to the Discord server and the Telegram group. Boys, thanks for this one. I've really enjoyed it. It's been a good laugh. Let's hope the game at the weekend is at least as enjoyable as this video has been to record.
We'll be a bit more positive for West Ham.
Well, I won't because I'll not be recording it because I'm going to be at the match and I'll be in Newcastle. So I'll be watching it and I'll be watching the preview from afar. But boys, thanks for this one. I've enjoyed it. We'll see you all in the next one. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Ciao.
Social Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.